Good afternoon. Let us have a quiet time in which we become receptive, going within and listening. This is Joel Goldsmith's Spiritual Power of Truth. Chapter 2, Before Abraham. Now, in the last chapter, you will remember, we learned that we had to impersonalize God. Because by personalizing God, we put the veil on. And by impersonalizing God, we take the veil off. And so he continues with this theme in this chapter. He says, impersonalize God, and what do you have? You have divine being, universally expressing itself, universally manifesting itself before Abraham was and unto the end of the world. This is what you get when you impersonalize God. You get infinite divine being from the so-called beginning to the so-called ending. And you also discover that there was no beginning, as there will be no ending, for life is a circle. It never began, it never ends. It is. Before Abraham, it is. Unto the end of the world, it is. It is. I am. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, if you have studied the preceding chapter, then that I am, you know, is in the midst of you. And so the I am in the midst of you is before Abraham was. It doesn't say was before Abraham was. It says is, so that I within you is before Abraham. That I within you is after the so-called end. God is invisible, indescribable, incorporeal, infinite, from everlasting to everlasting. And who can draw a picture of that? No one. So we are to relax, to rest in this consciousness. The creative principle of life, the reality of life, the omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience that is within me, closer than breathing, is the selfhood of me. So relax in it and let it perform its work. Dozens of times he says, relax in this is. Rest in this is. And let this is perform its work. It was said, He performeth that which is given me to do. He perfecteth that which concerneth me. There is always this He that is within me, that we identify not as a He, but as an I, neither male nor female. This I unveils God. This I unveils the omnipresence of God in the midst of you. This I enables you to take the final step on the spiritual path, the mystical step. Take no thought. Let your prayers be without words or thoughts. Let your ultimate prayer be an absolute silence. Be still and know that I am come that you might have life, life more abundant. I, in the midst of you, will never leave you nor forsake you. I, in the midst of you, am your bread, meat, wine, and water. I am the resurrection of your body. And if you should destroy this body in 3 days, I, in the midst of you, will raise it up again. If you have lost body, mind, business, or home, I, and only I, can raise it up again. Relax in that truth. I, in the midst of me, is the only God. When you have Jesus as God, you have put the veil on. Now there's somebody that lived 2,000 years ago, and if only you could reach him. But when you have I within you, omnipresence, you have taken the veil off. Now you know that I within is the only God. It knows my needs before I do. It is its good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I do not pray for it or beg for it. I do not plead for it, tithe for it, or even worship for it. I relax in it. So that this in the midst of me may live my life abundantly. This that is my outer experience is the direct reflex action of the I that is my true identity. Therefore, if I live in the awareness of this, inevitably my outer experience must show forth this inner grace. And so if you live in the awareness of I in the midst of you, your outer experience will become grace. For life is not meant to be lived by might or by power, by sweat or by tears, by striving or by struggling. Life is meant to be lived by grace. There are infinite ways of God's life being lived as our individual life. It's amazing, really. right now somewhere in one of the Arab countries, maybe in Lebanon. There is a mystic whose life is being lived by grace. Right now, in the midst of someone in South America, this I is being resurrected, raised up, and their life is being lived by grace. Someone in a Buddhist temple in Japan, near Mount Fuji, there is a monk. And in that monk is the realization, the conscious awareness of the living I am. And that life is being lived by grace. And so it matters not who you are or where you came from, what color you are or what your features are, whether you are male out here or female out here. None of this matters. The only thing that matters is your living in the awareness of I within you. Now, at first, this comes in your meditation. I remember meditating on what Moses revealed. I am that I am. I am that I am. And suddenly it dawned on me, wait a minute, I am that I am. That I am, I am. And I opened my eyes and I went to the phone and I called Herb Fitch. And I said, Herb, I am that I am. And he, of course, said, well, yes, of course. What did you think it meant? And we laughed, and I came into the awareness within me. This I am is what I am. And so it really doesn't matter where you are, when you are. If you come into the awareness of this, your life will be lived by grace. You will see how it becomes easier and easier to live without the profusion of words and thoughts, except when you receive words and thoughts. Not think them, but receive them as impartations from this I am within you. They are being imparted to us from within our own being, and this really is the spiritual way of life, living always under God's grace, receiving the divine impartation that turns us always in the right direction. It does not overcome evil for us, but it reveals the non-existence, the non-presence of evil. I think that would make a very nice title for a book, The Non-Presence of Evil. Wouldn't you buy that if it was on the shelf? Yeah, I would too. When we pray, Thy will be done in me, Thy way be done in me, it is this spiritual way we are talking about. Not a special way for me, but thy way, which is meant for all mankind. And thy way, he said, is when you live by that which is imparted from within. Now, we will not find God with our mind. God is not to be found with the mind. But when the mind is still, God, in the midst of us, reveals himself and says, "Be still. I, in the midst of you, am he. And I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have life more abundantly." Then you will know the meaning of the transcendental consciousness, the fourth dimensional consciousness, that higher consciousness which, when it is ours, when we have attained it, lives the spiritual life and embraces in it all who touch our consciousness. Therefore, be sure that there are enough periods in your day to be still, very still, and let the Spirit of God reveal itself to you within, as it announces to you, "I am he." Think for a few minutes on the vital problems that are disturbing you. They can be your own, your children's, or your grandchildren's. As you think of them, ask yourself if these conditions are good or evil, and who said so? Who told you that these conditions are good or evil? Remember, you are receiving instruction, and the instruction says there is neither good nor evil, in spite of all the beliefs about it. Now, all we want to know at this moment is this disease evil? Did God create it? Did God create evil? I think you know better than that. God did not create evil. If God didn't create evil, who did? Have you been entertaining a belief in evil, in good? If you are, who gave you that belief? You don't know. But you will know a year from now. You will know exactly where it came from. All you'll have to do is begin now to practice this lesson. So if you don't know where the belief in good and evil came from, and you practice this lesson today, in a year from now you will know. You will know where it came from. At this time, you can know nothing more than this. There is no such thing as good or evil. The very moment that a belief in good and evil is accepted, we are outside the kingdom of God, the kingdom of harmony. And the moment we are outside, what happens? A material creation takes place. Now, look around. When I read that, I looked around at this material creation. There's a dresser and a bed, a wooden floor and a rug, a stool and a chair, a computer table, a keyboard, a mouse, a book, a person, a body. This entire material creation sprung forth from the belief in good and evil. Before that, there was the Garden of Eden, grace, eternal grace living itself. Now, why would I ever leave that grace and accept the belief in good and evil and accept the belief in a material universe? Why would I do that? Why would you? I guess we all have to answer that for ourselves. For me, I answer it like this. Once upon a time, in a galaxy far away, I said to God, while I was living in grace, I want my own life. I want to be in charge. I want to run things. I want my own universe. I want my own self. And God said, it's impossible. You can't have all that. I said, I want it. Give it to me now. And God said, there's no such thing. I said, I want my own life right now. And God said, the only way you can have that is to dream it. You will have to fall asleep and dream it. I said, give it to me now. And I fell asleep. Adam fell asleep. And out of that came a dream. And in the dream there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I and my helpmate ate of that tree. We accepted the belief in good and evil. It took us right outside that Garden of Eden. It took us right outside of the harmony of grace. Now, there's good and there's evil. But I'm in charge, by golly. I'm gonna run things. And I ran them. Century after century after century. And now here I am. Oh my God, I want to come home. Let me come home. Okay. But this false sense of self has to die. You have to awaken from your dream. You have to let the material universe go. The whole universe? Yes. Everything that was created when you accepted good and evil. Well, okay. I'm game. What do I have to do? The moment we are outside, what happens? A material creation takes place. Now, what created the second chapter of Genesis? The belief in good and evil, everything that is reported in the second chapter of Genesis as having been created was created out of the belief in good and evil. It is not a God creation. It is not a spiritual creation. It is not subject to God, and is not subject to the law of God, nor is it subject to the government of God. This is why spiritual healing cannot take place on the human plane. Spiritual healing can only take place when you have stopped thinking of the person, stopped thinking of the condition and the disease, and the belief and the claim, and return to Eden, where there is neither good nor evil, where there is only God, Spirit, wholeness, and completeness. Nobody can be a spiritual healer who prays from the standpoint of trying to correct something in the Adam world. If you succeeded in improving this picture, you would only have good materiality instead of bad materiality. You still would not be anywhere near the kingdom of God. Don't believe for a minute that health and wealth are going to make you happy. Never believe for a moment that attaining physical health or physical wealth is going to make you one bit happier than you are now. The answer to life is in coming back into the Garden of Eden, where there is neither health nor disease, where there is neither wealth nor poverty, where there is only a continuity of perfect joy and harmony, dependent on nothing. It is where there is just a state of is, a state of being, a state of God being. We can return to the Garden of Eden at any moment. It may take a year of practice, but we can attain it. Outwardly, you can't voice this to anyone without danger of being locked up. In the old days, they would crucify you. Nowadays, they lock you up and give you electric shock treatments until you can no longer remember this. Then you're, quote, normal. Outwardly, you have no right to say these things to anyone. If you do, you take away from them their God. Yes, you take away their God. Now they have nothing to worship, nothing to pray to, nothing to believe in. And you have no right to do that. However, outwardly you can look on every form of evil and whisper within yourself, there is no evil. Only thinking makes it so. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking does make it so. Nothing is good or bad except when we place that concept on it. Now, these are very strong words. The disciples were willing to leave the Master for far less. But these words are truth. You can only be in trouble as long as you entertain the belief of good and evil. Now, what does he mean by that? You look out a lovely range of mountains, oak trees growing, pine trees, a little creek running by. Clouds in the sky. It looks like rain in that direction. Sun in that direction. It's beautiful. It's so good. That's a concept, or a series of concepts, none of which is true. Is true. God is. I am. It is. Is. Now I go to get up and my back hurts because there's arthritis in the spine. Oh, I'm so tired of this pain. This is a bad thing. Who told you it was bad? How do you know? Well, because my concept says that it shouldn't be there. I should be free and easy. So, I have created a concept, a series of concepts, which says it's bad. So out here it's good, but down here it's bad. I check out my investments, and I see that the Dow Jones has come up, and I've made a little money. That's a good thing. Why? Why? Because of a series of concepts that says that's a good thing to have more money. But wait. Wait, the stock market is crashing. It's crashing. It's going way down. I have so much less now in my investments. That's a bad thing. Because I really had planned to take some money out to buy another vehicle. So that's a series of concepts. Don't you see, we do this 100 million times a day. You can go to a restaurant. You can go to a restaurant and look across the tables, and your mind can judge everybody sitting there. Good, bad. Good, bad. Good, bad. Who said so? Who told you? These are concepts, and they're lightning fast. But what if I walk into that same restaurant and I have the conscious awareness? I'm living in the awareness of is. Now I sit down. I raise my eyes. I look around the restaurant. Is. I feel is. Not good, not bad, just is. Ising. It is where there is just a state of is, a state of being, a state of God being. Once you begin to look on all so-called evil conditions and say, as the Lord said to Adam, "Who told you you are naked? Who told you you are evil? Who told you this is disease? Who told you this is dangerous? You will see, God never said anything was evil. Did God ever say that to anyone? No. Please believe me. God never said anything was evil. Now he's going to go into his individual experience. Do not think of him as someone special. Rather, see if you can catch the principles he is revealing. If he's special, you can't do anything about it. Make a little plastic Joel and put it on your dashboard. If he's just like you and I, then there are principles here we can practice, we can live, and we can do something about this. He says, one time I was sitting in the presence of a person who was, to all sense, passing on. I was sitting there in the same discomfort that you would, realizing that I could do nothing to stop it. I had no miracle gifts to prevent it. I didn't know any miracle words that would turn it back. Something had to come to me from the depths of the within, or there was going to be a funeral. So he's sitting there and he's knowing nothing he can know, no truth that he has memorized, no truth that he can think can save this person. This person is going to die unless he can receive an impartation from this I in the midst of him. It didn't seem the right thing to me, so I could only turn within to that still small voice and wait and wait. And sometimes beg and plead, please, please say something. I'm listening. Beg and plead for something to come. Finally, it came. And these were the words that I heard within me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So that was the impartation from deep within him. You wouldn't have believed it if you had seen him. No, you wouldn't have believed it. You would have seen evil. You would have seen disease in its final form. You would have seen a person's death. And then here the voice says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want you to know that it wasn't long until that became an actual fact in demonstration. Health, harmony, completeness were restored. Now, how? Did that come about because he had some deep understanding? Did it come about because he was a master? No. No. Whether it was him or whether it is you, if you receive an impartation, it comes with power. Always. Let us be clear about this. The nature of error is purely an illusion. That was the great discovery of Gautama, the Buddha. As a matter of fact, he wasn't the Buddha. he was Gautama, until that second, when, sitting under the Bodhi tree, the still small voice spoke to him. Do you recall why he was sitting there? Yes. He was looking for an answer to sin, disease, death, and poverty, and how to remove them from the world. Remember, Joel said that gave him the answer to the whole thing. The voice said, "This is all an illusion." From that moment, Gautama was Gautama the Buddha, or Enlightened One, or Messiah, or Christ. The very moment that Gautama knew that there was no sin, disease, or death, that they were an illusion, in that very moment, he was the Enlightened One, the Messiah. The very moment that you perceive that there is neither good nor evil, then your function as a healer is not to remove or heal disease, or to believe that God heals disease. You will know the truth. This whole mortal creation, whether healthy or sick, wealthy or poor, is all made up of the belief in good and evil. In proportion as you overcome it, you know neither health nor disease, neither wealth nor poverty. You just know the Garden of Eden, a continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. You ask, what is spiritual health? A continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. What is supply? A continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. What is companionship? A continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. You may never have an extra $1,000 in the bank, but neither will you have a need for it. If you have a need for it, it will be there, because God appears in infinite form at any given moment. Now, you've heard me say this. You've heard me dozens of times say this. Suddenly I have the need for a dishwasher because I go downstairs and I try to start that one, and it won't start. And I check the plug. Yes, it's plugged in. It won't start. So I unplug it and plug something else in to make sure that the outlet is working. Nothing. Well, I plug in something else. Yeah, that works fine. So I unplug that, plug the dishwasher back in. Nothing. Nothing. None of the buttons are working. I need a dishwasher, but I don't have the money right now. I don't have the money in the bank. I haven't told anybody about this, but I go to look at dishwashers, and on the way I stop at the post office and I see a check in there for $600. Wow. That's wonderful. That's from someone that gives every month. And there's another one for $500 from someone I've never heard of, never met. That's $1,100. So I go next door to the bank and I put it in, and I continue on to look at dishwashers. And the one I will like, the one I want, is $1,089. Well, I just received $1,100 that I did not know I needed. So I write the man a check, and he says he'll deliver it the next day, And the next day he comes, takes the old one away, sets up the new one, and it's working fine. Wonderful. Now, that's a continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. And it comes as you need it. It just comes. And that's the way it should be. If it's not working that way, you miss something. Go back and look at the principles, or look for the principles and begin to put them into practice. God appears in infinite form at any given moment, but not unless you know the truth. Not unless you know that it is only the belief in good and evil that throws you out of this continuous harmony. You will never be a spiritual healer while you believe there are two powers, the power of God and the power of disease, or lack, or astrology, or diet. The power of diet is everywhere now. You get online, you turn on the TV, and there it is. But there is no such thing. It's a concept. It's one of the concepts keeping me out of continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. You will never be a spiritual healer until you know you don't need any power. Nobody needs any power. God is maintaining his spiritual universe eternally, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's something wrong with us. The belief in good and evil, in good powers and evil powers, good conditions and evil conditions, these beliefs throw us into what we call the second chapter of Genesis, or into a material creation. When you are in the first chapter of Genesis, you're under grace. How can you get under grace? Give up the belief in good and evil, and you find grace permeates your entire being. Grace supports you. Grace heals you. Grace maintains and sustains you. Grace is the power that goes before you to make the crooked places straight. So this starts in our meditation. It can start if somebody asks you for help, or if you just sit down to meditate. There is nothing good, there is nothing evil. Those are concepts. I'm setting them aside. I'm going to follow my father's advice, my father's instruction. I'm going to drop all that and be still inside here. I'm going to be still, very still. Speak, Father, that I might receive an impartation from within. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I and my Father are one. God is ising. I am amming. I am. grace is all about you, and yet you have no more awareness of it than a fish has of water. I heard a story maybe close to 60 years ago. An old fellow whom I love very much said, there was a young school of fish enjoying a swim, and an old wizened fish swam by and said, good morning, gentlemen. Isn't the water lovely this morning? And he swam on by. And the young fish looked at each other, water? What's water? And they swam all over the Pacific Ocean looking for water. In him we live and move and have our being. So, so it is with us. We are in a state of spiritual health. When we are in a state of spiritual health, which is a continuous outpouring of harmony, we not only don't know disease, we don't know health. We only know that we are harmonious, normal, free. Let us understand this. Let us begin right now to be spiritual healers. Let us understand that somewhere, somehow, sometime, we accepted a belief that is no part of us, and that belief is that there are two powers. That belief says that there is a God power that can do something for us, and there isn't. God power is already doing all that it can do. It is doing it in the Garden of Eden, for all of the spiritual creation. But it won't work in the second chapter of Genesis. It won't help you. You ask, how can these things be if there is a God? Well, there couldn't be if there were a God on the human scene. But there is no God in the second chapter of Genesis. There is a law of cause and effect. So there's no God in this material creation, and you can't bring one here. And the very first or second chapter in the original Infinite Way book says that's the whole problem, trying to bring God to into your human affairs to fix something. He says, rather, we have to fix our concepts. So, when you rise above the law of cause and effect, you are no longer under the law. You are under grace. But you will have to do this for yourself. You will have to do it yourself to come into a state of spiritual living in which you need no healing, in which, like the Master Christ Jesus, you can heal all those who are unillumined as to this truth. He was able to say to Pilate, thou couldst have no power over me unless it came from God. He was able to also say, put up thy sword. We don't live by material means. Man shall not live by bread alone. I don't need meat. I have meat the world knows nothing of. What did hinder you? Pick up your bed and walk. Neither do I condemn thee for thy sins. Who did sin, this boy or his parents? Neither. Don't you see that all of this was the showing forth of his knowledge that there is neither good nor evil? He did not condemn evil. He didn't praise good. He didn't even claim good. There is no good except God. You must say that too. There is no good. No good health. No bad health. There is just God. There's no wealth. There's no lack of wealth. There's just God. There's no sin. And there is no purity. There's just God. Just God. That's all there is. God. Now don't say that in that old absolute sense. Oh, God is all. Don't say it unless you know there is neither good nor evil. When you know that, when you are convinced in your innermost heart that there is neither good nor evil, then you will know that all of this exists as a belief in the human mind, a belief that caused you to be thrown out of Eden. When the belief is overcome, you can say with the Master, I have overcome the world. I have overcome this world. I'm back in the kingdom of heaven, where there is neither good nor evil. There's just God. There's just spiritual being, just perfection. Nobody knows what health is because nobody knows what disease is. Nobody knows what painlessness is because nobody knows pain. There's nothing to compare with. Nobody knows what wealth is because nobody lacks anything. Therefore, they can't know what lack is. And if they don't know what lack is, they can't know what abundance is. Don't you see that? He says. Please, believe me. I have worked so many years in this work. I have known from the beginning that we were dealing with the spiritual universe and that the evil in it wasn't real. However, I never knew why, nor did I know how it came into this state of being out of Eden until a revelation came to me. The revelation came in those passages where God said, Who told you you were naked? Then I knew that something was wrong. The knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve thrown out of Eden, that gave me the whole secret. Eden represents our spiritual domain. Eden represents the state of harmony, or heaven. Eden represents our immortality, our state of divine being. Now, I hope you get the feel of this principle that there is no good and no evil. These are concepts. I must come out and be separate from these concepts. And I begin that in my meditations, which is why he says we must have periods every day in which we are still, quiet, listening, receptive. And in those periods, we recognize the nothingness of good and the nothingness of evil. We recognize within us is this I am. It is. And we rest in is. We relax in is. We breathe is. With practice, we will receive an impartation. that impartation will come with power. That is, it will dissolve your material concepts. And then you will be standing in a continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. And it really operates exactly like that. You don't ask for it. You don't tithe for it. You don't even have to worship God. You just have to rest in God. You just have to rest in the internal awareness of I am. Continuous outpouring of spiritual harmony. It really is heaven on earth. It really is for me. It really is for you. This is the spiritual way. The infinite way. The way of Christ. Thank you so much for drawing this talk out, for drawing out these principles, for drawing out the I within. I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Blessings.